I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place.
Bible, two purposes, two only. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here. It has all of it is for two reasons: to know God and to make Him known. That's it, the whole thing. Now, it's written in different languages. We got Greek, we got Hebrew, different translations. We got the NIV, New American or New International Version. We got the NAS, New American Standard. I choose to use the OTV, the old Tar Heel version. Now, Jesus didn't ask us to do much. But in the Great Commission, we've all heard it, Matthew 28:19, He says, go into the world, raise up believers, baptize those believers, and teach those believers what I've taught you. That is God's plan A for the salvation of the world. And family, He ain't got a plan B. We're it. Huge responsibility. Remember, the gospel is only good news if it gets there in time. Now, there are missionaries. That's you. There's the mission. That is sharing your faith. And then there's the mission field. And that is where you share it. Now, you might not necessarily be called to some jungle area, to some native's two-seater hot tub. It's more likely that your mission field is right here in the good old U.S. of A. You know, that country built on Christian principles. How are we doing with all of that? Now, Jesus said His desire is that none would perish. And the devil's desire is that everyone would perish. Speaking of the devil, we do give him a little bit too much credit. Now, there's no doubt he's alive and active. We know that. We can read the book of Job, and it's all through there. And sometimes we see signs of the devil at work. And it isn't the ones where you do something a little wrong and you know, the devil made me do it. Yeah. A little story. This was before I met the Lord. I mean, I'd known the Lord for years, but I didn't really follow Him until 1986. And this was in about 85, and I was working, and I was coming back from the car auction in Seattle, and I got word that my son had been in a bad car accident. My youngest son, Todd, that many of you know from, he's worked in the ARC over here. And so I go, he was at a hospital down in Everett, so I turn around, head down to Everett, and what had happened was he had been working for me at the car lot in Anacortes, and they had sent him down to Snohomish to pick up a part that we needed, and so he hopped in our little service truck. Down there he went, got the part, and the truck broke down, so they sent another kid down to tow him back. Well, the kid hooked on to him, and not being real experienced with towing, towed him right out into the highway. He got himself out, but my son, he pulled right out into oncoming traffic, and he got broadsided at about 60 miles an hour. And praise God, it didn't hit the driver's door. It hit the set of the truck, but his head went through the side window, and he lost sight in his right eye. I went down to the wrecking yard probably a week later to where the truck was to pick up stuff out of the truck, and I happened to look over right next to the truck my son was in, and here's this old Camaro that the kids had been in that ran into my son. It wasn't their fault. He got pulled out in front of them. But at any rate, the old cop that I am, ex-cop I used to be, and the old car dealer, I just went over and stuck my head and looked inside the car, and here was that smell I'd smelt before of beer and blood all mixed. And I just happened to look at the odometer. In those days, those old cars only went to 99,000 miles. And I happened to look at the odometer, and it said 66,666.6. At impact, sixes across the board. Devil? Well, I don't know if it was the devil or not, but it sure got my attention. I knew what all those sixes stood for, and I just happened to think, Lord, the devil trying to kill my family? You know, if it were up to me, I would have built a world without the devil and out all of the pain and suffering, and that's what God did. He happens to call it heaven, and that's where we're going, and that's what our job is. Where's your mission field? Is it your family? In Luke, it talks about, Jesus said, how am I going to trust you with the big things if I can't trust you with the little things? Now, I don't mean to tell you that your family is a little thing, but I am here to tell you that you do love them unconditionally. You do care about what's best for them. It should be relatively easy to serve them. Because if you can't serve them, how can I expect you to send you to others that you don't love unconditionally, even though you should, that have hurt you, abused you, talked about you, gotten the job at work that you thought you should have got? I mean, it goes on and on and on. How are you going to serve them, witness to them, if you can't even witness to your own family? Now, I was given what I thought a mission field. We brought it back here to the church. Kalu in the Philippines, my wife and I went there. And you know, family, sometimes I believe that God gives us more than one mission field. I've got another one now. I am the caregiver for my precious wife, Judy. As you know, she's been diagnosed with dementia. And so I am blessed to be her caregiver. Now, we've heard those four words, it's going to get worse. But we choose to live by those other four words, God is on the throne. And wow. Has this disease done really something for us? I thought I loved that wife of mine the first 50 years. Wow. And there's one thing that I do know about this disease that causes memory loss. God is not going to forget us. In 1993, God sent Judy and I to a place in Kalu in the Philippines, and we brought that mission back to you folks here at the church, and you have embraced it. And through you, we now have an orphanage with 60-plus children. We house them, we clothe them, we feed them. We have 8 churches planted all through the hills in and around on the island of Luzon to reach the Iboloi Indians. We have 7 daycare centers. We also have a Bible college to raise up teachers, pastors, to go to their villages in the hills and teach their people. We have a kindergarten. We have a 6th grade elementary school. We have a high school. And we have a mission house. All over the last 20 years, God has done an awful lot through you. God's plan for salvation has showed up in Kalu to reach the Iboloi Indians. Now, I was trying to, before Cheryl told me I didn't need to write up something for this Sunday. And I'm sitting down and I'm having a little talk with God and saying, Lord, what am I going to say to my family at church Sunday that I haven't said to them before to show them your heart for the lost and how big a deal it is? Such a big deal that you sent your son to the cross. Most people have a smartphone. And mine got smart. And it dinged to tell me that I had an email. And I'm thinking, really, Lord, right now? Being as I wasn't hearing from the Lord on what to say, I thought, why not look at the email? So I would like to read this email that I got. This is from a young girl that's been on about 4 or 5 mission trips with us to Mexico. She got excited about missions. She sure didn't look the part of missions. She came out of a beauty parlor in Seattle. Her sister went here. And she didn't look like mission material. But she got excited. She not only wanted to do missionary work in Mexico, she wanted to go to the Amazon. So she goes to school back east, New Tribes Mission School, and she goes to school, meets a guy there at school, gets married, has a couple kids while she's going to school. They get done with school, and they're heading off to the Amazon. She writes me and says, Pastor Nick, I can't go yet. And I said, why not? She said, well, because I'm pregnant with my 3rd child. So we're going to wait out this pregnancy in Canada, where her husband was from, and then we're going. I said, okay. About a month later, actually the day I'm trying to write this up, I get this email from her. And I'll read. I ran into the room and crumbled into my husband's arms. What is it? What is it? He asked. Our baby is gone. I cried, barely able to speak. With tears stinging my eyes and the feeling of waves of more tears coming, my face pale and my heart so very heavy, I handed him my Bible and asked if he could please read Isaiah 43 to me. Do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Read it again, I cried, desperate to cling to his word of truth in this horrible moment. Read it again. And he did. In our baby's life and death, we have come to know our Savior in a way that we never have before. We have come to trust him when we cannot see or comprehend his plan for us. The hope of God, the Father of all comfort, the one who loves us best, he knows pain well. For he lost his son, his only son. He has felt every pain we are feeling now. But as we grieve, we also think of the others, the ones who have no hope. They do not know him yet. For them, this world is the best they will ever get. Can you imagine? This horrible, fallen, sick world is the only hope they have. For us, this is the worst we will ever have it. For us, it only gets better. For we know of a place where there will be no more asking why, no more tears, no more pain, no more suffering. The sting of death gone for all eternity. And we know of a person who makes all things new and who brings beauty from ashes. Oh Lord, take us to those who have no hope. Whether they are next door to us here in Canada or at the ends of the earth, take us to them. Thank you for using our baby who never made it into our arms to give us a renewed fire in our hearts to make you known and to be your light in this world full of darkness and pain. In the midst of Tenley's pain, that is the young lady that wrote that email, you hear her heart for the lost. In the midst of Christ's pain on the cross, you hear his heart for the lost. Forgive them, Lord, for they know not what they do. When it comes to missions, love is the root, salvation is the fruit, and sacrifice tends to the tree. Before I show you this little video, in closing, if you would like to join this church and others that support this ministry to the Iboloi Indians, your extended family in the Philippines. You can see Don at the table in the back. Now, family, as you watch this little short video, some of you have seen it before. I would ask that you look into the eyes of the faces of the souls you have reached, and you see peace. And the little girl at the end of the video, the one peering in the back window with curiosity at the new church in Declanto, look into her eyes. That is a soul you're trying to reach. And when you feel that pat on your back as you're watching this video, that is the Lord saying, well done, good and faithful servant.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you.